Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy in Santee. A 911 call taped from August 29, 2009, reveals the terror experienced by California Highway Patrol officer Mark Saylor and his family when the accelerator jammed in the Lexus vehicle that Saylor was driving that night on State Route 125 in Santee.
911 emergency, what are you reporting?
Yeah, we're in a Lexus.
I'm sorry, your cell phone's cutting out.
We're going north 125.
Mm-hmm.
And our accelerator's stuck.
I'm sorry?
Our accelerator's stuck. We're on 125 and we're in
place. Okay, northbound 125, where are you passing?
We are passing, where are we passing? We're going 120, Mission Gorge. We're in trouble. There's no brakes.
Okay.
And freeway, half mile.
Okay, and you don't have the ability to, like, turn the vehicle off or anything?
We're approaching an intersection. We're approaching an intersection.
Okay.
We're approaching an intersection. Hold on.
Pray.
Okay. Oh, shoot.
Okay. Hello?
Moments after this tape ends, the loaner vehicle that Saylor and his family were in struck a Ford Explorer and burst into flames, plummeting over an embankment and into the San Diego River. Saylor, along with his wife, his 13-year-old daughter, and his brother-in-law, were burned beyond recognition. Now on March 19th, the U.S. Justice Department has announced that Toyota will pay $1.2 billion to settle a criminal case and investigation that arose from the quadruple fatality crash here in Santee. Toyota has also agreed to pay $10 million to the Saylor's remaining family members. According to the Justice Department, Toyota deceived federal regulators about the cause of sticking accelerators in Lexus and Toyota vehicles. The company claimed the problem had been solved during a recall. But according to Attorney General Eric Holder, Toyota made misleading statements to consumers and Congress instead of promptly disclosing its real problems. The company is now facing class action lawsuits over its accelerator issues. After the deadly crash in Santee, Toyota recalled millions of vehicles in two separate recalls, for sticking accelerators and for a floor mat that Toyota indicated could cause the accelerator to become stuck. But those remedies came too late for Officer Saylor and his family. Welcome to Job Talk, bringing you news about great jobs and growing our regional economy.
Should workers have the right to earned sick days? Should the minimum wage be raised in San Diego? A City Council committee will hold a hearing on these issues on Monday, March 24th at 9:30 a.m. at City Hall. A new organization, Raise Up San Diego, at www.raiseupsandiego.org, will hold a rally outside council chambers in support of these proposals. An email invitation from the organization states, "Come, be part of history as the Improving Wages and Working Conditions measure is introduced at the Economic Development and Intergovernmental Relations Committee." A recent report found that the majority of workers in San Diego do not have paid sick days, including most employees in the food services industry, making that issue a concern for public health as well as the health of employees. Those in favor of raising the city's minimum wage note that the cost of living in San Diego is far higher than many other places. Thus, the minimum wage is not enough to live on. Such measures have typically drawn opposition from business organizations who contend that increased costs could be burdensome to business owners. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
Meet Don Axe on his farm in Spring Valley. Home to vegetable and hydroponic gardens, rabbits, chickens, And he does it all on a pretty small parcel of land, by farming standards.
The whole area here that we have is about a quarter acre on a slope and a flat.
It all started a few years back when Don lost his job.
Didn't know what I was going to do, so I decided to put a garden in to help feed the family, and kind of snowballed from there and decided to build this little sustainable urban farm.
The farm's biggest bang for the buck? Goats.
I originally got goats because I couldn't get a cow. So goats produce more milk per size than a cow does. So they're easier to take care of. They eat less, and they're more easily readily available than cows are. And cows can get really big, so you need a big area and a lot of feed for them.
Don's five goats yield about 1.5 gallons of milk every day.
The goat milk is so much better for you than cow's milk because of the fat content. It is about 10 times smaller than cow milk, so it's easily digestible.
You never have to go to the dairy section if you have goats that can give you milk.
On to the Lakeside Library now, where Don teaches an engaged group about raising goats and making goat cheese. It's part of the Country Living Series, a monthly workshop held at the Lakeside Branch.
Public libraries can be best described as the people's university. And what that means for our communities is that our library staff is very in tune to what their interests are. And they really try to provide programming that will best serve the community.
For the adults, it was a chance to learn about goat ownership and sample goat products. For the kids, they got to hang out with this kid, a 5-week-old baby goat.
They brought a goat. His name is Billy.
Don's advice for those thinking of owning a goat?
Well, you really want to have two goats because they're such social animals. They don't do well by themselves. They're real sociable. They love to be around each other. And you can take them out walking like a dog. You can put a backpack on them and take them for hikes. People are trying to get back to their roots. Find out where they can grow their own food and become more self-sufficient.
This is kind of the process that all cheese is started from curd, depending on what culture you put in the cheese.
I'm really into the education of people and that they can do these things and make the commitment and get more self-satisfied with what they can do. It's very, very fulfilling to be able to see, you know, the products that we produce and as well as educate others how to do it.
This report was provided by the County News Service.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Iberdrola wants to build an industrial wind facility in McCain Valley here in San Diego's East County. The company has claimed that the odds of one of its turbines catching on fire are infinitesimal. But on March 15th, a wind turbine at Iberdrola's Locust Ridge wind facility in Pennsylvania caught fire, sending flames arcing across the landscape until the fire burned itself out, and that's an area that gets a lot more rainfall than here. What would happen if this occurred in McCain Valley amid tinder-dry, fire-prone brush in a hard-to-access area where there are campgrounds at the end of a canyon and only one road out, a road that is set to be lined by wind turbines? The valley is in the path of the 2007 Harris wildfire, which was fueled by 100-mile-an-hour hurricane-force winds. Each turbine is set to be filled with hundreds of gallons of flammable lubricating oil. Firefighters can't fight fires under whirling, burning turbine blades, and aerial drops don't work at heights over 300 feet or so. These turbines would be 500 feet tall. The turbines at Iberdrola's Locust Ridge project were made by Gamesa. Gamesa has had many wind turbine fires, including the turbine fire at the Kumeyaay Wind Facility in Campo earlier this year, as we reported. Our story also recounted Gamesa's troubled history of wind turbine fires at several other sites. Will Iberdrola use Gamesa wind turbines at its planned Thule Wind project in McCain Valley? Boulevard Planning Group Chair Donna Tisdale told East County Magazine that Iberdrola won't say what brand of turbines it plans to install. But Iberdrola controls nearly 20% of Gamesa's shares and had pledged to buy at least half of its turbines through the year 2022 from Gamesa, East County Magazine reported back in 2012. And at that time, they wouldn't tell us what brand of turbines they planned to use at Tule Wind either. Supervisor Diane Jacob made an impassioned plea to her fellow supervisors not to approve Iberdrola's Tule Wind project, warning of the extreme fire dangers that it would pose. But the other supervisors ignored her warnings and voted for the project. So did the federal government, which approved portions of Tule Wind on Bureau of Land Management and tribal lands. Public safety should be the highest and greatest responsibility of all public officials. But many who are supposed to represent our region continued turning a blind eye to the dangers that fire-prone wind turbines pose to the people and wildlife across San Diego County. The recent chain of wind turbine fires should spark alarm among elected officials and the public, since history has proven that firestorms that start in East County can swiftly burn into San Diego, destroying homes and lives in urban as well as rural communities. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
An environmental group is calling on the federal government to provide drought relief to Delta and Northern California farmers and business owners, and not just those on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley. Barbara Berrigan-Perea with Restore the Delta says Delta farmers are on the verge of losing farms, and salmon and other fisheries are suffering too.
The Delta will be a zero outslope, which means we will begin to have saltwater intrusion into the Delta. We have farmers in marinas that will be experiencing loss of fresh water that they need for their services and water levels.
Berrigan-Perea says it's unfair to blame the Delta smelt. She says the House Natural Resources Committee is framing the issue as a three-inch fish over people, which she says is inaccurate and harmful to solving California's challenges.
We also want to see a change in narrative with the Congressional Natural Resources Committee. It's just not the fault of the Delta smelt. The reason we are in this situation is because of gross mismanagement of our water supplies and oversubscription of our water supplies.
Berrigan-Perea says taking more water from the Delta won't solve the state's water problems. She says it's the drought, not the Delta, that's affecting the water supply this year. The House Natural Resources Committee held a field hearing on California's water crisis in Fresno yesterday, but the Restore the Delta group was not called to testify. For Public News Service, I'm Lori Abbott.
This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
Representatives Susan Davis and Scott Peters, along with members of San Diego's medical research community, are calling on Congress to increase federal funding to the National Institute of Health, which funds critical medical research. Budget cuts threaten this research and our region's economy, the representatives say. Representative Davis is leading a bipartisan effort by asking her colleagues to add their names to a letter to convince appropriators to allocate $32 billion to fund NIH grants in fiscal year 2015. San Diego is the cornerstone of medical research in the fight against deadly and debilitating diseases, said Davis. Virtually everyone knows someone who is struggling with the disease where NIH funding is used to find a cure. In recent years, we have seen that funding threatened by budget cuts affects medical advancement and our local economy. Congressman Peters says that providing robust funding for the NIH is necessary for our country's long-term competitiveness. He added, "In San Diego, our universities and research institutes, both large and small, rely on NIH for the grant funding that allows them to do their work. If we want to make sure that the next discoveries are made here in America and that the best and the brightest scientists in the world that we educate and train choose to stay here, we need to get NIH funding back on track." Congresswoman Davis held a roundtable discussion recently on the importance of NIH funding in San Diego with Congressman Peters and leaders from local universities and research institutions, as well as representatives from organizations such as the American Cancer Society, the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, and the Alzheimer's Association. So far, more than 56 members of the House of Representatives have signed Congresswoman Davis's letter. San Diego County receives about $800 million in NIH funding every year. Grant funds from the NIH flow to thousands of scientists in laboratories throughout the San Diego region.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
More troubling issues are coming to light regarding renewable energy developers and their projects. Industrial-scale wind and solar projects subsidized by the federal stimulus program are not eligible to also pocket wind production tax credits. But the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration examined 16 big energy companies and found that half of them had been illegally double-dipping. Among small businesses examined, it was even worse. 61% had filed for tax credits on projects that were already subsidized by taxpayers. The IRS says that many more wind and solar development owners may be double-dipping. And the agency believes that over half the stimulus grant recipients should have audits to take a closer look. Yet the IRS says it has no way to flag accounts of companies to challenge any that took tax credits on subsidized energy projects. That's not the kind of transparency promised by the Recovery Act to prevent waste, fraud, or abuse of taxpayer monies, in this case, over $18.5 billion doled out. For energy companies, such funds are gifts that keep on giving, since tax credits continue to benefit them for power produced over the next 20 years. A single wind turbine in a windy location could generate up to $30 an hour for the owner, or over a year, $250,000. A large wind farm with 100 or so wind turbines could be reaping $50 million a year, or a whopping $1 billion over the next 20 years in these credits. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
World-famous Harlem Globetrotters have entertained millions of fans in 122 countries over the past 88 years. Now the team, famed for its comedy basketball routines, is bringing fun summer basketball clinics to kids in San Diego and East County. The Harlem Globetrotters are teaming up with 24-Hour Fitness in the Santee, College Grove, and Balboa areas for clinics coached by Globetrotter star players. The two-hour clinics will be offered mornings and afternoons during late June at each of these locations. Globetrotter star Dizzy Grant says, quote, "It doesn't matter what skill level you are, every kid will have a blast at our summer clinics." The clinics not only teach basketball skills, but also how to be a good teammate, both on and off the court. Plus, kids get photos and an autograph session with Globetrotters players. Clinics are open to boys and girls of all skill levels, ages 6 to 12. For more information and to find the clinic nearest you, visit www.harlemglobetrotters.com/clinics. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Ed Barena.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week.
This week's Destination East County program begins with two theater productions and ends with the Bluegrass Festival in the San Diego foothills. The theater production, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, a play based on the classic Peanuts cartoon characters of Charles Schulz, will be performed for a final weekend at Grossmont College through Saturday, March 22nd. The award-winning musical is full of fun and laughter, with songs like The Kite, The Baseball Game, and Supper Time, and is meant for the whole family. Then Young Actors Theater is pleased to announce the opening of the stage version of the family classic Alice in Wonderland at the Encore Theater on Friday, March 21st at 7 p.m. The show continues throughout March 30th, and the cast includes residents of the East County areas of La Mesa, Spring Valley, Santee, Lakeside, and El Cajon. Then for the first time, Sophie's Kensington Gallery in Kensington will collaborate to display the work of a local artist, Joe Neary. His collection, Birds, Animals, and Humans I Admire, will be featured in this joint public display throughout the month of March at Sophie's Kensington Gallery from 5 to 8 p.m. A true artist by nature, he is comfortable in more than just sculpture. His skills extend to painting, airbrush, and printmaking. Guests can join the San Diego Astronomers Association and the park staff of Sycamore Canyon Gooden Ranch Preserve in Poway for a star party on Friday, March 22nd at sunset. Professional telescopes and astronomers will be on hand to help participants view our galaxy. Watch the weather, as clouds or rain will cancel the event. Now for a preview of some major upcoming events that require reservations. The Antique Automobile Club of America will be presenting a show at Summers Past Farms on Saturday, March 29th, which starts at 10:30 a.m. At this free outdoor event, visitors can wander among old cars of yesteryear and reminisce, and also visit the farm, which has a small cafe area and a plant market. The Iron Horse was the term for the train in bygone days. Next month, out at the Campo Railroad Museum in Campo on April 5th, from 12 to 4 p.m., the Chef's de Cuisine and the folks at the museum are celebrating over 50 years of service to the San Diego community together with the Southern California Vintners Alliance. They are firing up the Iron Horse for a buffet dinner with wine tastings, drawing prizes, a silent auction, live music by Trails and Rails, and, of course, vintage trains. The popular Golden State old-time passenger trains will also run at 11 a.m., 2:30 p.m., and 4 p.m. that day. So guests can plan to make a day of it and maybe check out the cab locomotive ride option for an added thrill. Tickets for those 21 and older for the event can be ordered through the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum website at www.psrm.org. Saturday, April 12th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the date for the Hamul Kiwanis Hot Rod Show and Chili Cook-Off, with an all-class car show and chili cook-off with prizes, food, live band and DJ, and children's play area at Pio Pico Thousand Trails on Otay Lakes Road in Hamul. Information on how and where to enter your chili, as well as antique vehicle registration, T-shirt orders, and more, can be found on the HamulKiwanis.com website and our East County Magazine calendar. The Lemon Grove Historical Society presents a day at the historic 1892 Troxell Manor and Gardens, Lemon Grove's third oldest home, which was built by William and Mary Ann Troxell, on Saturday, April 26, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Visitors can tour the manor and its gardens with ancient trees and a working organic garden and orchard. Also available will be demonstrations and live music under the trees with guitarists. Visitors can tour the manor and its gardens with ancient trees and a working organic garden and orchard. Also available will be demonstrations and live music under the trees with guitarist John Garner. Guests can also observe artists at work and enjoy refreshments and tastings. Garden-related door prizes will be given out. And lastly, the Ramona Bluegrass and Old West Fest is coming up on Saturday, May 3rd and Sunday, May 4th. This two-day local East County festival has a lineup of musicians performing on the Old West stage, a Civil War era camp, a saloon, mountain men, a prairie schooner, and the cowboys. You'll be able to visit their camps, talk, and learn about how life was lived in the 1700s to 1800s. That's all for this week. All of these events and more can be found on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at www.eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is supported by our listeners and with a community enhancement grant from the Board of Supervisors of San Diego County.
See you around, East County!
This is Miriam Raftery with a scam alert for taxpayers. The U.S. Treasury Inspector General has issued a warning to taxpayers to beware of phone calls from people claiming to represent the Internal Revenue Service, or IRS. In reality, these are scamsters seeking to defraud taxpayers. This is the largest scam of its kind that we have ever seen, said J. Russell George, the Treasury Inspector General for the Tax Administration. He said the agency has received reports of over 20,000 contacts
and has become aware of thousands of victims who have collectively paid over $1 million as a result of the scam. The Treasury Inspector General warned that the increasing number of people receiving these unsolicited calls from individuals who fraudulently claim to be with the IRS is alarming. This tax filing season and year-round, here's how to be on the alert and don't become a victim. The scam has hit taxpayers in almost every state in the country. Callers claiming to be from the IRS tell intended victims that they owe taxes and must pay using a prepaid debit card or wire transfer. The scammers then threaten those who refuse to pay with arrest, deportation, or loss of a business or driver's license. The truth is that the IRS usually first contacts people by mail, not by phone, about any unpaid taxes. And the IRS won't ask you for payment using a prepaid debit card or a wire transfer. The IRS also won't ask for a credit card number over the phone. If someone unexpectedly calls claiming to be from the IRS and uses threatening language if you don't pay immediately, that's a sign it really isn't the IRS calling. Callers who commit this fraud often use common names and fake IRS badge numbers. They may know the last four digits of the victim's Social Security number. They can make caller ID information appear as if the IRS is calling and even send bogus IRS emails to support their scam. They might call a second time claiming to be the police or the Department of Motor Vehicles, and the caller ID will again support their claim in this scam. So if you get a call from somebody who says they're with the IRS asking for a payment, here's what you should do. If you owe federal taxes or think you might, hang up and call the IRS at 800-829-1040. IRS workers can help you with your payment questions. If you don't owe taxes, call and report the incident at 800-366-4484. You can also file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission at www.ftc.gov. Please add IRS telephone scam to the comments in your complaint. Taxpayers are encouraged to be alert for phone and email scams as well that use the IRS name. The IRS will never request your personal or financial information by email, texting, or any social media. You should forward scam emails to phishing@irs.gov, and that's phishing with a PH. Don't open any attachment or click on any links in those emails. Taxpayers should also be aware that there are other unrelated scams, such as a lottery sweepstakes winner, such as telling you you're a lottery sweepstakes winner, and solicitations such as debt relief that fraudulently claim to be from the IRS. You can read more about tax scams on the Genuine IRS website at www.irs.gov. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. And today I am here with Robin Reardon with the Lakeside River Park Conservancy, and she's going to tell us about some efforts they're making to improve our environment and public safety.
Unless you know this plant and someone has pointed it out to you, most people just think it's bamboo. that lines all the creeks along San Diego. But it's really not. It's a plant called Arundodonax, and it's a very invasive, very dangerous plant. And we've developed a new program called the Arundo Control Project, where we are going into communities with creeks. This year we worked in Los Coches Creek, and we are removing this plant. The residents are really happy to see it gone because it becomes a location where fires can start. The canes are dry, and they break off in floods and form dikes and big mats that float downstream and cause further flooding. It has no habitat value, so when you have Arundodonax in your creek, you don't have songbirds.
Right. It can be really dangerous. I know we reported on a very sad story a few months ago about a homeless woman living out there, and she died in a fire that began with this Arundodonax, so it's important to get that out.
It really is. And during the cedar fire, Arundodonax allowed the cedar fire to snake into neighborhoods that it wouldn't otherwise have gotten into. So removing it's a really important thing. The other thing about Arundodonax is that it's so thick that it becomes a hiding place for people who are intent on doing illicit activities. So for community members who have this, they feel unsafe. They feel like people are in their creek. They can't quite see them, but they see evidence of trash, and it just makes the community feel a lot less safe.
Yeah, I understand. For example, there have been meth labs found out there, people making illegal drugs, and of course the chemicals they use in that adds a whole other layer of danger. When you have explosive chemicals with a highly flammable plant, that's not a good combination.
It is not at all a good combination. So since September 15th of this year, we have been sending out cutting and chipping crews to take out this Arundo, and the residents are so happy because it is such an aggressive plant. It can grow back a foot a week. And if you're not prepared to handle the regrowth, then all of a sudden you've done tremendous amounts of work to cut it back, and it's beating you to the punch because it is growing faster than you can cut it.
That sounds like a big project, Robin. Do you need help? Are you accepting volunteers?
Actually, it's not a volunteer project, simply because the work is so physical that we think it's just too hard for volunteers to do. We actually use CAL FIRE crews to come out and clear the Arundo. We use their chipper, and we have a really good system. What we're really looking for is more homeowners who find themselves with this stuff in their backyard or their front yard, and they're along a creek somewhere in Lakeside, and we would be interested in talking to them because we're going to be applying for a new grant this year, and we would like to remove this invasive species throughout Lakeside.
How can people get in touch with you, and where can they get more information, Robin?
If you go to our website, lakesideriverpark.org, you will find the Arundo Project in there. It has all the documentation that you may need to sign, and then give us a ring, and we will put you in the list.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso.
This is Janice Mork, host of People Power, profiling people and organizations making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Janice Mork with East County Magazine and People Power, and I am here with Dr. Carole Ja Mira. She has been selected as one of 22 brilliant, beautiful, and brave Black women.
Her profile is on display at the Women's Museum here in San Diego.
Dr. Carole, what good works have you been doing for the community?
Recently, we went through a group called the San Diego Ambassador Program. I'm one of the elders, and we do a lot of things. They went to Washington and to New York in 2012 and 2015. They went to go to Haiti in 2016. Water for Africa with Vicky Butcher, and so there was funds, and so with the program, what we did, they had a sleepover a Saturday, and they gave me a youth ambassador volunteer certificate.
And this was Saturday, March the 1st? Okay.
Also, I'm going to be going to Haiti 10 days from now. We having a group of students from University of Dartmouth, Massachusetts, our School of Business. We're going to see how to enhance the program that we have of agriculture and safe water. And I've been going back and forth since 1999, and we lost a lot in 2010 with the earthquake.
And what else have you been doing in Haiti in the past since you started going back there?
I've helped them. We build their homes, sending them to school since 1999. We created the Angels for Haiti project, and a lot of people in San Diego support me. for that. And that's in 2001, they wanted scholarships, school band, art, and music. So I help with the hospital whenever I can. But they will have to pull me and drag me because I say I want to be with the children. So I do program, art, music, school garden. I can go there. And the idea is to teach them how to fish, teach agriculture, how to sell it in the neighborhood villages, and also how we can transform the foods. Let's say if you have pepper, how to do pepper sauce.
What is the Angels for Haiti project all about?
In 1993, I formed the Health Through Communications Foundation, which was a program. At the time, I wasn't going back to Haiti. And it was to do program for underserved population in San Diego. So I feel if you give a child a brush or a musical instrument, he or she will never touch a gun. That's simple. It's an opportunity to be part of the community. And then in 1999, when I decided it was time to start going back to Haiti, so I went to replicate what I did. So I took in my energy from here in the community and do more community public health in Haiti. While here, I only did free medical care, like with Father Joe. That's why we call it the Angels for Haiti. So people raise money. We have scholarships for the school. So this is part of what the Angels for Haiti do. It's education, scholarship.
That's very good work that you do. What other good works have you done in the past?
In San Diego, let's see. What did you do? Some volunteer work. I work with the Urban Indian, San Diego Urban Indian Clinic downtown. And for many years also, I work with the Kumeyaay Indians, the Borona, the Sequans. At the time, they didn't have much money as an OBGYN. And after that, they were very grateful and to give me money to start the art and the music program in Haiti. The Sequans, very good to me. As a gynecologist, I was one of the founder of the Rachel Center for the Homeless Clinic. Started in 1986. Then I had started with the St. Vincent de Paul Village Clinic with Father Joe in 1997. So to this day, which is in April, is going to be 17 years. So I do volunteer work. Also, I do volunteer work in El Cajon for the past year and a half. There is a clinic called Volunteer in Medicine. So I've been doing free medical care for women who have no insurance. So those are the three things I do in San Diego. And I do things also in other countries, including Haiti, where I've been going back and forth and doing a lot for the children. We have medical care and art, music.
Very nice. And how did you find out that you were selected as one of the 22 brilliant, beautiful, and brave Black women at the San Diego Women's Museum?
I got an email, and I said, are you telling me that I'm one of the chosen women? They said, yes, you are, and we are so honored to have you. I felt honored. Yes, that was my reaction, because there are so many wonderful women doing wonderful things around in San Diego, beautiful Black women do a lot of beautiful things, and I was glad that I was chosen. Also, there are a lot of the other people that I know. We've worked together for many, many years, so it was like a sister reunion.
When did you find out that you were selected?
February 6th, it's about a month prior to that. And there were some things they wanted from us, like they wanted to know a favorite quote. And also, who inspired me as a woman? And also, whatever I wanted to say. And they wanted a little something. So I chose the quote from Saint Thérèse de Lisieux, and where it says, I am at the right place at the right time. You know, something to be in the moment. You believe you are where you're supposed to be. I have it next to my computer because my journey has been very long and there were many things that I've accomplished and I felt, oh, this is it. But I'm always continually growing. And also I had a picture of my grandmother. My grandmother raised me since I was 4. She was my father's mother. My grandmother didn't know how to write her name until she was 64 years old. And I taught her how to write her name letter by letter. And the day she signed her name on the passport, it was the most beautiful day in her life. And what I learned is that it's never too late to learn. She was 64 years old.
How do patients find out about you? How do you get your name out there?
I'm working with Matt. He read some of my writings and he said, you know what? You are a very powerful person, because he had a friend who was sick. And then I saw him and I said, this is what's wrong with you. And changed his life. And then that's how he ended up meeting me. And he said, when I went on the internet, I didn't see the powerful person who you are in person. I don't see it. So I've been working with him since July.
Is there anything else that you would like the readers to know about you?
I'm very happy. All the past issues that I've had, I was able to deal with them. So now I'm in a stage where I have accomplished many things in my life. I'm content with what I have. I am blessed that I'm sound of mind and I'm able to help a lot of people who are suffering.
This is Janice Mark with East County Magazine and People Power. I just interviewed Dr. Carol Ja Mira, and she has been selected as one of the 22 brilliant, beautiful, and brave Black women. And her profile is on display at the San Diego Women's Museum until March 28th. Thank you, Dr. Carol.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Real to Real. Every show, we will bring you authentic, independent artists. I'm your host, Dean Bruce, and I sit down every show with a diverse group of musicians, not only digging deep into the grit of the music-making process, but also bringing to you the real stories of these real artists. This is Real to Real. Good evening, everyone. This is Dean Bruce with another episode of Real to Real Sessions. Tonight, I am fortunate enough to be in studio with Rachel Aldous and The Road Home. Say hello, everyone.
Hi. Hello.
So I have some of the band, not all of the band tonight. So we have Anna, the fiddle player. We have Rachel, vocals, and Jerry.
Banjo, harmonica.
Harmonica. And you have two other members. You have your drummer, who is Dave. And then guitarist, Lee. All right. So for those of you who haven't heard the show before or just joining us, we pretty much sit down and talk about all the music that pertains to them and their particular genre. And let's start out with a real easy one. We start out with the same one every single time. How did you guys get started?
Ooh, how did we get started?
Let you start.
Well, I started off as a solo act. I started off just me and Lee and Dave. And we were doing a lot of stuff together, and then we actually did an event, and someone said, you know, you've got that country twang, and you can't get rid of it, so you might as well kind of embrace it. Have you thought about doing a bluegrass style? I said, well, I've always wanted to do something like that, but we don't have bluegrass instrumentation. So I actually put an ad out on Craigslist, ironically.
Actually, believe it or not, that is a reoccurring theme.
Yeah.
Through every time I ask the question, there's always Craigslist in there somewhere.
Well, so. Here you go. And I was terrified. I was like, oh, I don't know. But my husband actually put the ad up. And he worded the ad so well that I just knew no one would ever respond to it. And it was like, you're not going to get paid. We only do ministry stuff. We do prisons and rescue missions. You're probably not going to want to do this. But if you do, if you're interested.
So if anybody wants to answer a Craigslist ad to go to prisons and do ministry work, and you know how to play the bass.
Yeah, and you're not going to get paid.
And you're not going to get paid.
Very often, anyway.
Contact the band. Directions to follow.
Well, then I heard that it just went up for one night or something like that, which is kind of crazy. Because,
just one night, yeah. She actually answered it the following day, I think.
It was just the timing of it. That was with a couple people from church and just something didn't work out where they were just considering doing other things. So, you know, sort of laughing, and my husband was watching me on the computer, seeing it, like, what is she doing? She's always trying to get herself into all kinds of projects and stuff like that. So, you know, I type in bluegrass Christian, you know, it's like, okay, I don't know what's going to come up, bluegrass Christian fiddle, whatever. And this ad comes up, you know, you want to play for, it's all for, this is for eternal treasure, it's not going to pay, it's just, you know, people want to be able to have a good time together and bless people. I thought, I want to do that. I'm okay. Asian fiddler responding to bluegrass ad, you know.
Yeah, she had the.
For some reason, I had some. I was like, you know, I meet them for one day. I really liked the video that she had on there of herself with singing and the message. You know, I said, well, she seems like if she's as real as she seems like in the video, I'd like to just get together with them and see what happens.
I mean, obviously, bluegrass has come up in the world a little bit more recently. There can be a lot of spots for a fiddler to get in on the game. So to be that fortunate to just send it in there and then get something, that's got to be like a one in the million. You should have bought a lotto ticket that day or something, you know?
Oh, I don't
that's
know. I think we were the ones that got the lotto ticket.
Absolutely.
As soon as you hear Anna. Yeah.
So on that note, I want everybody to take a few minutes and listen to the song, I Love Sunshine. If you're just joining us, that was Rachel Aldous and The Road Home with I Love Sunshine. I want to kind of get the information out there, rachelaldous.com. There's some CD Baby. There's some stuff up there. iTunes, you can download your stuff. I encourage everybody to get out there and take a moment and listen. It's an important message, no matter where you are in life. Because sometimes it's not necessarily just about God or Christianity or religion. It's about taking and consuming the message in your mind. And I'm going to read this real quick. This is out of the liner notes. And this is it's a letter that you're kind of writing to your audience in a sense. I pray that if you're going through hardship, that these songs would bring hope and healing to your heart and maybe help bring some perspective through the pain. I think that's sums up a good synopsis of what you guys are trying to do. Folks, it's been another great show. I appreciate you guys joining me this evening. I've had a great time. Check us out in Facebook land, Facebook Reel to Reel.
I have one thing to add. Oh, we're giving away the album for free on my website.
Excellent. That's great. Well, it's been a great evening. I want to thank the San Diego Performance Academy for letting us use their facility, as always. My staff and everybody that is involved with this, I really appreciate your time. And this has been Reel to Reel Sessions on KNSJ 89.1. Remember to tip your waitresses. And this is Daddy's Old Shotgun.
Tommy Nelson came to see her when she turned 15. He was a boy with freckles, grown up tall and lean. Daddy saw him coming, started shining the old shotgun. Didn't take him long, for that boy was on the run. He'd say, son, let's go for a walk. We're gonna have to talk. She'd watch from the window and pray, Daddy, don't scare that boy away. Then there was John McElroy. Didn't to know each other and talk. He watched by the window and prayed, "Sweetie, don't scare that boy away." He said, "Y'all go for a little walk.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.